Since the creation of Obamacare, many states, including New Jersey, have seen health care providers exit the exchange system. This has added to the cost for remaining health insurance providers to do business in these states, which in turn has meant, as you may well know, higher costs for you, the consumer. Now, Humana has said that they want out completely, not just in any state, nationwide. Here to examine what this means for the health insurance industry and consumers is the Director of Policy with Americans for Prosperity, Akash Chogali. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Thanks for having me on today.
And it's AmericansForProsperity.org to find out more about this issue and individual issues that Americans for Prosperity state chapters take on and make you aware of. I'm reading all this about Humana, and certainly here in New Jersey, and certainly even more so in Pennsylvania, where Pennsylvania is staring down the barrel of a 53% on the average premium increase for 2017. And, you know, we've seen the impact of Obamacare as it further unfolds. But I guess, you know, harking back to Nancy Pelosi's infamous line, we have to pass the bill before we find out what's in it. I guess we know what's in it now, don't we?
We certainly do, and it's not pretty. Millions of canceled plans, millions of people who can't see their own doctor, millions of people who are paying more and getting less. It simply is not working. As you mentioned, not enough young, healthy people signing up, insurers dropping out, costs continuing to rise. It's going to collapse on its own. Hopefully we can repeal it before then and move in a better direction, away from another big one-size-fits-all plan and towards more individual flexibility, state flexibility, and private sector control.
Found this stat, and it's scary and interesting both at the same time, and it's, I guess it's reflective of any government program, Social Security maybe being a good parallel, how the initial design versus the current day division is certainly weighing up against the system. You could say the same Medicare and Medicaid, but this was from the CEO of Aetna. According to the Aetna mathematics of everything, their heaviest utilizers of healthcare, the top 1-5%, are now driving half the costs of the exchanges that Aetna is still participating in. There's no way a system can hold up under a weight like that.
It, of course it can, and this is exactly what we projected would be the problem, you know, as Obamacare was being voted on and was being brought into law. Despite all these incentives, the mandates, the billions in subsidies, the marketing, you know, these expensive health care plans with all these mandatory requirements people don't want and don't need are not going to coax young, healthy people to sign up, which means expensive, older people with, you know, higher cost health care needs are going to sign up. Premiums are going to have to increase, which is going to further drive out young, healthy people, further drive out insurers. This is exactly what we expected would happen. You know, it's hard to believe they couldn't also foresee this problem. Unfortunately, the American people are the ones left footing the bill. What we need to do is move in a direction that preserves the safety net for the truly needy, but enacts free market reforms that can make insurance accessible to people in a way they need it, reduce the cost, increase the supply of health care, not simply focus on health insurance for all.
Using New Jersey as an example, now Health and Human Services is using for 2017, a 5% average increase in the state of New Jersey, which is about as reputable a number as the unemployment rate happens to be, because when you look at individual companies, a few that are remaining in New Jersey, for example, AmeriHealth HMO, for 2017, their average increase is 26.3%, a little bit higher than 5% there. AmeriHealth Insurance Company, the rate change varies from 9.7% decrease to a 54% increase, depending on the plan. So if you do the math, that's an average of 18.3%. Horizon, BCBS, ironic term there, their average rate increase is 6.83% for their EPOs, 4.5% for the catastrophic, and for their Alliance Gold plan, 24.25%. And that's just in New Jersey alone. As I mentioned, you look at other states like Pennsylvania, Akash, with 53% for 2017 on the average. Arizona, 116% in premium increase. And when you add to that, aren't we in the phase now of Obamacare where the subsidies are starting to decrease?
The subsidies are not starting to decrease. What's starting to decrease is the federal match for the Medicaid expansion was 100% for the first 3 years for that new population. Now it's slowly dropping down to 90%, which means states are going to have to pick up a bigger and bigger portion of those costs for people they added on to the Medicaid program. Costs are continuing to rise both for taxpayers, you know, and for insurance premium holders. It simply is not sustainable at the rate we're going. People are not getting high-quality insurance. They're paying more. Competition is reducing. You mentioned Arizona. There was a county in Arizona that for quite a while did not have a single Obamacare insurer available. Today, there are 5 states that have just one Obamacare insurer available. Almost a third of all counties in this country have just one Obamacare insurer available in the marketplace. That is not competition. That's not affordable care. It's not what people have promised, and it's time to repeal it once and for all.
Talking with Akash Choghali, who is the Director of Policy with Americans for Prosperity. AmericansForProsperity.org is their website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And with Humana dropping out, too, at the end of 2017, there'll be states like Tennessee where there'll be, for the entire state, no insurer, exchange insurer, and Mississippi and Georgia. As of now, Humana is one of only 2 in a majority of the counties.
That's exactly right. I mean, this is exactly, like I said, what we projected to happen. There is simply no incentive for insurers to remain in the market when the costs of people enrolling are so high, but the amount of premiums coming in are not enough to cover those costs. This is basically what we saw with those co-ops that Obamacare set up. They set up 23 of these nonprofit co-ops that wouldn't have the evil profit motive that these big insurance companies have. But what they did was they undercharged premiums. The cost came in far too high. It was simply not sustainable. And we've now seen 18 of the 23 co-ops collapse or never get off the ground to begin with. Taxpayers forced to eat about $1 billion in costs to get those things up and running. And just another example of the flawed math, the simply flawed nature of this law from the get-go. These are things that should hopefully, for your listeners, paint the picture that this law is simply beyond repair because it was fundamentally flawed to begin with. These problems cannot be fixed by tinkering around the edges of the law. It has to be repealed once and for all, and we have to move in a completely different direction of health care reform.
I know this is an overall statement, but I hazard to guess that for a majority of Americans right now in 2017, as you know, we're in tax season and everything, the non-coverage penalty is probably less expensive than taking health insurance.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what's been the case for a couple of years, and that remains the case even as the penalty has increased this year. It's simply, especially for younger, healthier people who want a bare-bones health insurance, high-deductible plan, it is more affordable to pay the penalty. And that's not to say that we're ever recommending that people go without insurance. Obviously, insurance is an important thing for people to have. But simply, the incentives are not there to get young and healthy people to sign up. They're opting to pay the penalty, which clearly shows you a major flaw in a law that came with a mandate and all these subsidies and the Medicaid expansion that was theoretically supposed to give every single person insurance. And yet, 10 years later, we're still going to have 30 million people go without health insurance.
You mentioned the expansion of Medicaid before, too, and New Jersey is one of those states which took the, I think it was $70 billion for the Medicaid expansion. Of course, they dumped that in the general fund to plug a couple of holes in the leaking dike that's called the state budget. But be that as it may, with Medicaid, I've spoken with doctors, the rate of reimbursement for Medicaid is abysmal in some states. I believe in New Jersey, for example, if a doctor can get 30 cents on the dollar reimbursed from Medicaid, they're having a good time. Is as exchanges close and service from insurance companies drop out, are those Obamacare participants rolled into Medicaid? And if so, how much more of a negative weight does that put on that side of the equation?
There's nobody who is rolled in, I guess. The way to describe it is the Medicaid expansion basically massively expanded the eligibility. Medicaid, before Obamacare, was there for the truly needy, right? The disabled, the elderly, poor families of children, people who, you know, the safety net originally existed for. Medicaid expansion blew that up to 138% of poverty, which means there are millions and millions of able-bodied, childless, working-age adults now dependent on this welfare program. And you mentioned those low doctor reimbursement rates. One of the problems before Obamacare was because those reimbursement rates were so low, people on traditional Medicaid were struggling to get access to a doctor. They had long wait times. They went a long time between appointments, which is why their health outcomes were so poor on the Medicaid program. By adding millions and millions of able-bodied adults, we have simply made that problem even worse for the truly needy, who now have to compete with millions more people in the program, thousands more per state, to compete for limited doctor resources, limited appointments, limited health care resources. This is just one of the many ways that Obamacare actually harmed people at the very bottom rung of the ladder, hurt people it was meant to help, and all the while make taxpayers pay for it.
To wrap things up here, obviously there's no way to save Obamacare in its current form, and to the detriment of the Republicans, they've always said repeal, replace, but they've shown up, you know, with the table empty-handed. With President Trump now in the White House, and he's taking some action. Like, for example, the IRS is not able to withhold a refund in lieu of someone not paying their Obamacare penalty, which in a way also defunds Obamacare if you want to get technical about things. But do you think that Trump could be a more driving force to light a fire for creating an alternative plan or taking a core of Obamacare, because the president has said there are some elements that he likes, pre-existing conditions among those, and use that as a foundation to make a stronger situation?
Well, I think there's a couple problems. There's no shortage of replacement plans. Republicans have rolled those out for 8 years now. Dr. Tom Price, who's head of Health and Human Services now, he had one of the first ones when Obamacare first became law. I think the problem here is twofold, which is, one, we would rather they get it right than they do it fast. So it's going to take time. The second is, we actually would not want to see another big one-size-fits-all replacement bill. One of the problems with Obamacare, besides the actual text of the law, was that it was a 3,000-page bill with thousands and thousands and thousands of pages worth of regulation that tried to solve health insurance with one big bill. We don't think that's a good idea, whether it's Democrats or Republicans doing it. Rather than one big bill, we'd like to see a number of different bills tackle different problems, different solutions, all given their own vote, such as Medicaid reform, insurance regulation reforms, high-risk schools. We think these things all deserve their own votes. The second thing, and I think this is what you're getting at, we simply are getting Republicans who have cold feet, with all these liberal protesters cramming their town halls and blowing up their phone lines, getting cold feet, who seem to have forgotten that the American people knew exactly what they were voting for in 2010, 2014, 2016. They simply need to be reminded that repeal is what the American people want. It's what they promised, and now they need to go through with it instead of tinkering around the edges of Obamacare.
And learn more about this issue in detail and become more proactive and involved through the education and injecting yourself into the debate in many ways, too. AmericansForProsperity.org is the website for Americans for Prosperity. We've been joined by the Director of Policy, Akash Chokhali. Akash, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me on.